Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Dr. Dave Kapaska is president and CEO of Vera McKinnon Hospital in Sioux Falls. He's also been at the Center of Economic Development and Growth in the city as chair of the Sioux Falls Chamber of Commerce and on the Management Committee of Forward Sioux Falls. Now he's getting ready to retire from Avera. Dr. K joins us on the phone from Sioux Falls. Welcome, sir.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. Is there ever a right time to retire? How do you know when that day has come, when so much is happening at Avera and beyond?
Well, it's a wonderful question. I think, you know, it's a confluence of things that, one, I suppose you get old enough that it might be your turn. But I think the key thing is some elements of between goals that you have for your institution and for your people and tied to the amount of time to put those goals in action. You look at it and say there are some natural transfer times that come along, and I think that's really what happened here, and I'm very pleased about it, and I think we're in a good place to move to the next level. As you know, retirement in one mode or another is inevitable. It just is a matter of when.
Is it inevitable, or can you just keep going?
Well, I think you can keep going, but life will stop you at some point in time anyway.
So, sooner or later.
Yes, it is inevitable. Yeah.
Let's talk about definitely time as CEO is really marked by a lot of growth. Part of that is your leadership, and then part of it is the environment in Sioux Falls in the past few years, past decade. Was that an advantage for you to be there at a time where that growth was possible, or do you feel like that was something that you had to create and drive?
No, I don't think any one of us creates all of those things. I think the key thing for me really was I was on a committee to help push the event center forward in Sioux Falls. And one of the demographers that was helping us stated that there would be 90,000 more people in Sioux Falls between 2010 and 2025. And that struck me that with that kind of growth and with if we had no increase in capability to provide for healthcare, from my perspective, that we would be ill-prepared. And so our team just started to analyze what that would mean to our ability to care for that group of people. And so the instigation really was that short lecture that day from the demographer that just said, you better get ready. There's a lot of good things happening in the future in Sioux Falls.
Is the city ready, do you think, when you say get ready? Or are they on the right track to be prepared for that kind of growth?
Well, I think that since that time, I think we've talked about it enough that it's a pretty common conversation amongst leaders, for sure. I know on the chamber as well as here at Vera McKinnon, and I assume many other places, but that I think we're on a growth curve that would say we will be ready. I think that's a dynamic state, obviously, and there's always something more to add or something more to prepare for. But I do think that we're in a good position from where we are. With Forward Sioux Falls, obviously, $16 million plus investment in our city helps us prepare. The Discovery District, the industrial parks, and again, supporting our population growth with housing and such are all important pieces to being prepared.
Hmm. Some challenges there, too, with that kind of shifting population.
Yes.
Yeah. My first connection with McKinnon Hospital was a candy striper when I was, I think, 14 years old, and I actually got to wear the candy striper dress. And I delivered flowers to patients throughout the hospital. And I will always remember how kind they were to me, helping figure out how to be a volunteer in that setting. And I'm wondering what your first, you know, moment of connection with McKinnon or Avera was.
Well, I was hired. I'm a family practitioner by history. And I was actually hired at Avera McKinnon in 1999 to be the chief medical officer, which was basically the the guidepost or the principle for all physicians, all 600 of them here, which is a very interesting opportunity. And I think what I found on that very first day, and frankly, even in my interviews before that, was that this mission that the sisters came forth with way back in the early 1900s, to say from school teachers, which they were at that time, to respond to their community when there was a significant epidemic going on, with no training, to give it all up to be a hospital or to help in every way they could. And I think that's a legacy that all of us have tried to carry through to today, and would like to think that we've prepared it well enough so that that legacy can continue for another 100 years, because we got plenty of technology. There's always new stuff coming along, and new techniques, and new specialists, and all those kinds of things. But sometimes that's still not enough, and our ability to be present and honor these people and their families and in God's way is just an absolute blessing for each of us. And I hope that we can carry that forward for a long, long time.
Healthcare is a big conversation. It's a big business. It's one of the top public policy issues of our time when we look at healthcare policy, health insurance policy. What do you think an organization like Avera Health or Avera McKennan Hospital really needs to keep in mind going forward as, criticisms come, as opportunities come, and as, really major changes come in the way care is delivered and paid for?
Well, first of all, I think that I stress with our people that we need to remain nimble. There have been two or three times over the past 30 or 40 years when medicine, the way we were paid, changed dramatically, and it was going to be the end of medicine as we know it. And by being nimble and just adjusting to how do we still take care of people, just as the sisters did, from being teachers to being nurses, quickly to respond to needs, we have to do that also. And I think we're in a good position. Let's face it, there's never enough dollars to do everything you'd like to. We never get paid as much as we would like to from that perspective, but we always are there for the people that need us, regardless of their capabilities, and I think that's an important thing moving forward. My sense, when I look at the outcomes of medical care worldwide, and you've probably seen some of the ratings where in U.S. healthcare we may be 25th or 26th of quote the industrialized nations in our healthcare outcomes, but from my perspective, that reflects access, and we have a significant number in our population, and I'm really not going to be political about this, but in most countries in the world, the access is not an obstacle. Everyone is covered, and that's different in the United States. And we talk about 20 or 40 or sometimes 60 million people that have no ability to get health care other than to pay cash for it. That's why our numbers are poor, because those people are not getting the care. The people that get care, I'll gladly say that we have the finest health care in the world. But it's the people that don't, that get put into the statistics, that don't make us very proud sometimes.
Yeah. Well, and again, I don't want to get political either, but I want to get a little philosophical. Jump forward 50 years, 75 years. Are we going to look back at this time when we all were sort of, struggling with how to access care and write some of those checks? And will our kids and grandkids look back on it and say, we were able to fix it, and I can't believe that generation had to go through what they did?
I think we will. Medicare came out in the 60s, and before that, people just got what they were able to, sell chickens or bring brownies to the doctor to get your care. And so we've come a long ways. I do think that, I really don't want to be political about it, but socially, I think that everybody deserves solid basic health care. And whether that's a Canadian type system or everybody's on Medicare or something, and I know I'll probably send some political vibes shaking all over, but the reality is until everybody has that type of care, we will never reflect the healthcare outcomes that we're capable of here. And that's disappointing to me because we have a multitude of foreign medical grads who are physicians at our hospital throughout the community and such who tell me over and over again that if anyone in their family gets sick across the world, they will bring them here because it is by far the finest care. Hmm. But that would be because they would have access to it.
Right. Dr. Kay, we just have about a minute left, and I'm wondering if we might close by talking just a little bit about your service in the Air Force and in Vietnam. How do you think all these years later that really influenced you and you carried that experience forward into your professional life and your personal life?
Well, I flew cargo jets, the C-141s, and the last day, and multiple days before that, but the last day, if you've seen Miss Saigon and remember the helicopter taking off right as the city was taken over, I left with about 400 refugees in our aircraft, and I still get chills as I remember the cheers as we took off from a life ended potentially to a life saved. And I think that resonates with me every day in my work.
You're flying the plane and they're in the back and a cheer rises up amongst, how many people are we talking about here?
There were about, our plane had 170 seats, but that wasn't enough. So we took the seats out and we packed 400 people in.
Oh my.
And strapped them down. So it was quite a menagerie to say the least, but a beautiful thing. And like I say, our purpose on earth, I think, is to help people around us have a better life. And that was the epitome for me.
All right. Dr. Dave Kapaska with Avera McKennan, CEO and president. He's retiring in June. Dr. Kay, thank you so much for your service to your community and your country. And thanks for being here today as well.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.